It's that time of the week then. Yes, welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart here, taking you through the action alongside an excellent panel. It looks like we've only got two if you are watching on YouTube, but we will get the selections off Ed Nicholson separately throughout the show. But I'm joined by the Racing Post, Johnny Pearson and Robbie Wilders, on what's probably not the best weekend of racing coming up. We've obviously got the King George next week and then into Goodwood the week after. Robbie, it's quite a tricky weekend this weekend coming up.
Yeah, it is. You could argue the sort of BHA race planners have probably slipped up a bit, considering how busy it was last weekend, and now there's the quality is lower for sure. I still feel I've had quite a few bets this weekend already, to be fair though, so I'm not complaining too much, let's put it that way.
Yeah, there's plenty of good little races going on. There's seven in total on ITV. We will also be looking at the Irish Oaks at the Curragh on Saturday, as well as some other selections from our man who knows Ireland very well, Mr. Johnny Pearson. Let's get straight into the action then. We'll kick off with things at Newbury, in the first race of which is the 155, which is the Stevenson Stakes listed race for the three-year-olds and older. Persica's currently topping the market at 2-1. Ocean's 4's 100-30. Arabian Light 5-1 along with Salawi. Alzanati's also 5-1. And Medak is the 16-1 outsider of the field. Johnny Pearson, I'm going to come to you first in this one here. This looks a fair little race. Persica hasn't quite found his feet as of yet this season, but it looks a good opportunity.
Yeah, it looks a good opportunity. He ran well last time behind Salau, who obviously made a mockery of his mark at Epsom in, I can't remember what handicap it was. And then you've got Salawi, who's running here, he's been running in America, he's been running out in the Middle East, and he's having his first run of the season over here, and he looks a short enough price for having not run since February. Ocean's 4 ran very well at Royal Ascot Pine Generic, who's now been sold to race in Hong Kong. But the two, I was looking at the Godolphin turn here for Charlie Appleby, and I think William Buick's chosen to ride Alzanati, who's been running all right, but I think he's chosen to run one. He rode Arabian Light at Royal Ascot, didn't really go his way, he was a bit keen, went a bit wide, things didn't pan out for him. But you go back to that, he was behind Ombudsman at Sandown, at Maidan, he lost by a nose to Fort George, he went and lost by a nose in a Grade 1 in America last weekend. His run beating Bedouin Prince is a good piece of form, and I think he's, based on sort of recent levels, if he's up to the level he's shown earlier in the season and at the start of the year, I think Kieran Schumacher's got a really good spare rider for Charlie Appleby, and he could run a huge race.
Okay, yeah, 5-1. Yeah, Arabian Light, Kieran Schumacher's mount four, Team Godolphin in the 155 at Newbury. Robbie Wilders, how did you look at this one?
Yeah, good look at this at the start of the week. Looked like a race at a calf. I've backed Ocean's Four Antipost for three places. Just like his profile, really. He was fourth in the Hampton Court. He actually come out best on adjusted RPRs that day because he had a four-pound penalty. He wasn't beaten far. That was a massive improvement on his return when he seemed to have needed it at Sandown. But he was a good juvenile. He nearly won the Solario Stakes at Sandown. Again, fair amount of weight from the older horses, who I don't think are an outstanding bunch at all. The horse he was just behind in the Hampton Court, Glacius, was very narrowly beaten by Persica in the Gola Stakes next time. So I don't think there's that much between Persica and Ocean's Four at all. He was 8-1 at the start of the week. He's 7-2 now. I think that's about where he should be. But I think he's definitely the most interesting long-term prospect for sure.
Okay, one of the 2 3-year-olds in for Robbie Wilder, Ocean's Four, the selection, 130. Found it interesting that Medak was in here. I actually completely forgot about Medak, but this horse was the hyped-up horse of Graffard's last year going into the Derby for the Aga Khan. Now with Ian Williams, I'm waiting for this horse to potentially head into a handicap at some stage. But yeah, an interesting one at the outside of the market. Let's find out who Ed fancies then in the Stevenson Stakes.
So the first race at Newbury is the Stevenson Stakes, and Richard Hannon has an intriguing runner here in Persica, who hasn't won for a while. In fact, hasn't won for two Derby meetings ago when he won the Diamond Stakes. Finished second in that contest this year, but I thought ran a nice race last time out at Sandown. Is probably the highest rated horse in the race. Will go off favourite, I would expect, but this is the first chance that Persica's got of winning this season and for winning what is now over a year. But he is a very good animal. He's been running in some quite good contests of late, and that last performance next to Salal, just beaten just under two lengths, that wasn't a bad run. I think the course at Newbury will suit him a little bit better, and I'm expecting Persica to go extremely close. We're offering Super Boost on this race too.
Yep, so Ed, with Persica in the opening race at Newbury that we're covering, remember there are plenty of offers from Unibet throughout the show. Ed will give you some of those, but do head to the Unibet website and the app for all the terms and conditions and different offers available there. Let's move on then to the first handicap we cover, which is the 225 at Newbury, the per attempts handicap, just over 2 miles the trip here, where Bailey's Kelstar is topping the market at Unibet 11-4. Alhumate's 4-1. Ride the Thunder is 9-2. Team Player 5-1. Bahuda's 11-2. Shrimp Sadie 13-2. And Duraji is 16-1. Robbie, I was quite a big fan of Bailey's Kelstar in this race here. I mean, for the very informed Charlie Johnson team, I'd imagine they'll be wanting to keep that going into Goodwood, where his dad was so successful. But up £3 for that win at Kempton. I like horses who just seem to keep on winning. RPR suggests this horse could go on and go in again. Ross O'Ryan's a positive booking. Was that the way you looked at this, or could you find...
Yeah, he's definitely got a chance. He wasn't the one I like, though. I think Team Player is definitely on a very good mark. He has got up £14 since joining you at Willens. He won a valuable race for Musselburgh, but his last two starts have been worthy of a massive upgrade, I think. In the Chester Cup, he was last about three furlongs out. All the horses before the finish were prominent. He made up an awful lot of late ground to finish fifth. Ran the fastest individual furlong in the Northumberland Plate next time as well, when trying to make up a lot of ground. That was a slowly run race, much slower than the consolation race on that card. So he's finished ninth, but I actually think he's run quite well. A mark of 92, I think there's more to come. He's got an Ebor entry. He'll have to go up in the weight to see if that's going to be a long-term target. He's another one that's come in a little bit from the start of the week. But yeah, I think he's bang there. And I'll be ready to support if he's not right in the thick of things at the end.
Team Player then, yeah, 5-1 currently in the per attempts handicap. Johnny Pearson, what about yourself?
Yeah, so I tipped up Team Player as one of the two when it was Northumberland Plate, and also tipped the winner that day, which was obviously quite nice. But I think he's still on a very workable mark. You know, Robbie's just said everything that needs to be said about him, but sort of a bit more keen on Ride the Thunder, who ran in the same race that day. Was probably a bit too far forward, things didn't quite pan out for him where he was on the track and how the race unfolded. But he's been dropped a pound for that. But he was only beaten 4¾ length. Things didn't go right. I think under a better sort of ride in a smaller field, things are more likely to go his way. And I can see him massively improving again, Ride the Thunder. And I think he's the one to beat here.
Yeah, Ride the Thunder, yeah, very, and had a really good winner. I mentioned earlier, Salal, last weekend. Can he land another big handicap here at Newbury? Ride the Thunder, 9-2, currently with Unibet. Ed Nixon doesn't have a selection in this race, which allows us to move straight on to the 302 at Newbury, which is the 6 furlong Halgarten and Novan Wines Hackwood Stakes, a Group 3 contest, where Soldier's Tree is topping the market for James Owen, Sean Levy at 5-2. Bin Hurrah's 3-1. Song of the Clyde is 9-2. Symbol of Honor 11-2, Jasaw's 13-2, Mitt Bahi is 10-1, and Noble Champion is the 18-1 outsider of the seven. It seems like, Robbie, that Charlie Appy, we have mentioned him at the top of the show with regards to the first race, but it seems like he has come into a bit of a form, but maybe it's just the fact that he loves the July festival at Newmarket. But these sprints can always go anywhere, can't they?
Yeah, they're a bit of a lottery, to be fair. Nothing really surprises you in the sprints nowadays. I was actually, July Cup, I was furious because I did like Comanche Brave in the Royal Ascot race, and he caught, sort of flopped, but then won that. So it's a bit of a guess up. But my feeling is that the Wokingham was a pretty good Wokingham. The time was quicker than the Jubilee won by Almirac. And Soldier's Tree, he was running off 107. And he wasn't beaten far by Double Rush in that. He's a very interesting horse. He only made his debut in the December of his four-year-old season, which was only 8 months ago. He's come a long way in a short space of time. He's up to a mark of 108. That should put him competitive in a race like this. There's no reason why he can't keep improving. He's not been with James Owen for long. I think he's the right favourite. He's got the edge over Bin Harir from the Royal Ascot run, and he's a little more likely race. So, yeah, I think he's pretty solid at the top of the market, Sam.
Completely agree with you, Robbie. I think the Woking was a really, really strong race this year, and Double Rush actually ran a really nice race in the July Cup as well. So yeah, Soldier Tree for Robbie, 5-2 favourite currently. Johnny Pearson, in agreement there at all?
I can certainly see it, and he probably is the right favourite. But I think I might have lost the plot, and I'm going to take a chance on Noble Champion. He won the Jersey last year, and then he's pulled up at Goodwood, must have had a problem, then came out again in May in France, ran no race at all. At Newcastle last time, the weather was on, drawn on the wrong side, far too keen through the run. But there's definitely a good horse in there. And Ed Walker's horses are running pretty well. Kieran Schumark's riding pretty well. He might not win, but I don't think it's the strongest group three you're ever going to see. And if he were to return to sort of similar to his form from last season, where he was not far behind Amulok, then won the Jersey. If he's returned to that sort of level, I can see him massively outrunning his price and potentially winning the race. So I think he's got a chance, and at the prices, I'm going to take a chance on him.
So yeah, good case there for Noble Champion from Johnny Pearson, currently 18-1 with Unibet, big price there in the Hackwood Stakes. Ed Nixon has got a selection in here, so let's find out who he fancies.
So the other listed race at Newbury on Saturday is a 6-furlong Hackwood Stakes. Not many runners, which actually might suit my selection. The Flying Grey just saw Clive Cox trains this 5-year-old who hasn't won since his 3-year-old days when he won the Pavilion Stakes, which has been renamed recently as the Commonwealth Cup Trial Race. He does pull, that's his problem. He pulls, he's got a new jockey on today, PJ McDonald. Hopefully PJ will be able to restrain him a little bit in the way that Jim Crowley used to. Not stop him, but just give him a little bit of a chance of getting home over this 6-furlong trip. He is a big price though, and he is one of the top rated horses in the race. He isn't too far away from that position. And around about 16-1, I thought he represented value in a small runner race. That might be what he wants now. If he can just hold on to him and maybe just go maybe a furlong out and just try to make sure that there's enough left in the tank. At 16-1, I thought he might be worth a selection. There's much of a muchness here. There isn't one horse that's miles better than the others. So having contested Group 1 races of late, he ran at Royal Ascot, albeit finished 17th of 18, he did catch my eye once again, moving through the contest quite well. That was Grade 1. This is listed. He's up against horses that he should be beating. So at a big price, I'll chance Jasur to get his head in front for the first time in 2 years. Once again, we're offering a super boost here with Unibet on this contest.
Okay, so Ed, we've just saw then Clive Cox trained. Obviously, Clive Cox, a master in some of these sprints, and that is his fancy 13-2 in the Hackwood Stakes. We move on to the 3:37, which is the Weatherby Super Sprint Stakes for the 2-year-old 5-furlong contest, where Bint Archange is 7-2 favourite at the moment. Etienne is 11-2, Sky Secret and Vollering 15-2, Angels Lane 8-1. From Me to You is 9-1, 10-1 about Roll the Dice Baby, and 14-1. Bar these. Robbie, I was in the office. I want to say it must have been Monday. I was in the office on Monday, and Vollering was the conversation of myself and Harry Wilson. There was a plenty said. And as we're having that conversation, I got a text of Graham Robway saying, we have to back Vollering on Saturday after watching him in Deauville. That must have been a good race behind Crownbreaker. And it did look that way. Mm. And obviously Crownbreaker with the form of Victorious as well. It looks like that form's all stacking up. But all I've seen from Vollering, I saw some bookmakers open up at about 7-2. And now you see Unibet 15-2. I mean, the horse has drifted kind of slowly throughout the week. I mean, it wouldn't put me off personally, but really fascinating. But Archie Watson's horse here, Vollering. Do you actually know what Vollering is, Robbie? Do you want to know?
Please elaborate, mate.
Yeah, so I was actually informed by Jack Dorling, a friend of the channel, who actually did a little bit of work, works out in Hong Kong, but it's named after a bloke called Demi Vollering, who's a cyclist. Apparently, Archie Watson's a big fan of cycling, so that's what I've heard. So Vollering is a...
Is that true? It's quite a few horses named after high-profile cyclists.
Yeah, I think we had a conversation on in the No Ones. I think Tom Seale gave a good mention to that at one stage. But yeah, Vollering. Anyway, off topic there, but Vollering would be my selection here. I'll take the chance of 15-2, and I'm sure that you were quite keen as well.
Yeah, I like Vollering as well, Sam. Essentially, he comes out top on top speed figures, top on RPRs. He's got the best form. He's trained by one of the best trainers of a juvenile sprinter, I think, in Archie Watson, who won this race in 2022. He also went close in it a couple of years ago, Vingegaard. Just like his profile. A high draws have often done one in this. He's in 26. That could be the ideal place to be. We don't know, but you know he's going to be handy. I keep saying he, it's obviously a she. Come on, Rob.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, basically set too strong a pace at Deauville last time from the front, not being in far. I think it's a good horse. The other one, I backed his Sky Secret. Clive Cox not won this race, surprisingly. He's another excellent trainer of a two-year-old sprinter. He's going to win one eventually, surely. Sky Secret, yeah, just looks like he has been put away for this. One impressive at Leicester last time, showed bags of speed on his debut at that track in a race won by Coppel for the yard. The very smart sprinter Coppel is obviously a maiden Cox likes. He's got his pedigree, he's by Aali, the smart juvenile Norfolk winner, but on the dam side, they're all slow burners, sort of peaked 4-year-olds. Would like to think there's a bit more to come after a 70-day break. So they're the two I thought the prices represented a couple of fair wages.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're completely right there. I really do. Probably worth mentioning, Johnny, how unique this race is in terms of the way that kind of the weights of this are decided and bits like that. I mean, did you want to elaborate a little bit more?
I mean, I'll give a very quick summary of it. It's based on your sales price at auction. If for every £5,000 below £65,000 you're paid, you get a pound off your weight, and that's how it works essentially. So you've got, so it's not to do with your rating. Well, it is on your rating, but then it isn't on your rating. It's all a bit confusing, really. So actually, it's not even on your rating. So it's 9.5 and 9, and then you get pound off. Anyway, I digress. Bollering, just a quick one on the cyclists. They've also got the same owners and trainers. We've got a 3-year-old or 4-year-old now, I can't remember which, called Tade, who's named after Pogacar, the world's best cyclist at the moment, who's currently making a mockery of the Tour de France, for those who don't know. So they are very keen cycling fans, that group there. And I have to be in agreement with you. I think it was a pretty good run last time in Deauville. He's got everything going in his favour. The weights, she as well, but I'm saying it's Robbie. The weights, it could be lighter, but I think she should be able to run well under the weight she's carrying. And looks a great price to win this. And she's well drawn in 20. You typically want to have a draw on the higher end of the scale here, and she's drawn in 26, which I see as a positive. Yeah. The other one that I thought would have a chance is Bint Our Challenge. And look, she's been running well. She's got a great chance. She's drawn in 20, but the price is a little bit more prohibitive with her.
It's quite a unique race, this. It really is. But yeah, I mean, this horse, Vollering, has now got the weight of Robbie Wilders, Johnny Pearson, Harry Wilson, and Graham Robway, and myself as well. I mean, you just keep adding kind of pundits onto this. But yeah, Vollering 15-2 seems a really fair price based on that. Ed Nixon is not in agreement with us. Ed has got a 14-1 selection. It is going to be Cody Bear Light. So let's see why you fancy Cody Bear Light now.
Well, one of the big races at Newbury over the year is the Wetherby Super Sprint. It's a race that every owner and breeder would like to win, let alone the jockeys who will win a big prize if they manage to plunder it. It's worth, I think, $137,000 to the winner, won by plenty of good horses in their time, just for two-year-olds, but it's the weights they carry based, as we all know, on the cost of the horse as a yearling. So in years gone by, you've got group horses that are carrying low weights running against horses that have been beaten in nurseries, but there's a lot of prize money, so there's a lot of reasons for the owners, trainers and breeders to want to win this race. The one I'm going to choose is a filly towards the bottom end of the race card, Cody Bear Light. Now, she's only had 3 runs for Carl Burke, Jabba Abdullah filly. The first 2 performances put up some really good speed figures. Second time out when she won at Thirsk, that was a good performance. She ran green and she stayed on really well. And at the time, it was one of the best time figures that any two-year-old has put up. Because of that, I napped her in the Hillary Needler at Beverly back in May, which was her last run. And she ran no kind of race. Despite being back to 3-1 the night before, down to 5-4, she didn't run the race. She just couldn't get to the front and came, I think, last of the field. I'm going to forgive her that, and we're going to put her up as a selection here. She will be around about 20-1, 16-1. She obviously needs to improve on what we've seen, but I think if you forgive her that run, she wouldn't be 16-1. If she hadn't run there, she'd come straight here after Thirsk. She'd be 10s, 8s, 12s. So I'm going to forgive her that run, and hopefully Jack Nichols, who rides her today or on Saturday for Carl Blurt, can steer her home. There are plenty of runners. It's going to be a very difficult race to win. We are going extra place at Unibet. But I think around about 20-1, Cody Bear Light is probably overpriced based upon that performance last time, which wasn't her run.
Yeah, spoiler alert there. Cody Bearlight is going to be Ed Nixon's nap at the end of the show. But 14-1, a big price in this field here. But majority of us, well, we all are with Vollering at 15-2. So that's Newbury done and dusted. And usually we're going to be heading for some summer jumps action shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not, overnight market moves, eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Race Post, sponsored by Unibet, Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nixon joining us remotely off the show, taking you through the weekend action. Let's get into this summer jumps action then, as mentioned, at Market Raisin. And the race that we go to first is the 210, which is the summer handicap hurdle, class two handicap here, where Louis Veron has been well supported throughout the week. 2-1 favourite now for the Team Skelton. Mojito de Mott is 6-1. Squeeze Box is 13-2. Moonshine 15-2. Lettison Lily 17-2. Newtown Ramblers 11-1, 12-1, and bigger the rest in here. Robbie, this Louis Veron, again, this was one that was in conversation. We've actually doubled it, me and Harry, with Vollering. But this Louis Veron
has
an RPR of 145, officially rated 124. You can definitely see why the money's coming for this horse.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Mason, our race post jumps handicap, is obviously very impressed, and you can see why. Won in a canter, Stratford on a final run novice hurdle. RPR 136. I mean, you normally, when you see a horse making a handicap debut off a mark of 124, you're not expecting them to have done much above that on RPRs. So Steve's obviously impressed, and you sort of, when you're looking at a visually impressive horse, you want to see if it's backed up by the clock. It has been. Louis Veron is very close to top on adjusted top speed figures. So I thought that was interesting because he's not had anywhere near as many goes to post a big figure. So, I mean, it's the Skeltons. It's the best team around for this sort of race. It's a likely race, five-year-old. He's 3-1 at the start of the week. I'm pretty surprised there's still 2-1 around at the time recorded. I could see him going off a fair bit shorter than that. And he was my biggest bet of the week so far. And I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win.
Yeah. I could not agree with you more. There's a lot of agreement going on. Johnny Pearson, you said before we actually came back for part two of the show that you think this horse could actually go off a lot shorter, even evens. Robbie's basically suggested it there. But yeah, I mean, this is a typical Skelton handicap plot job, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily a plot job, but you know, he won by 10 lengths last time. I mean, what do you want? What do you want to do? It's not like he's in the Mandra Rock. But I mean, he's, on what we can see, he looks like he might end up being much the best in here. He's adjusted. Racing post rating is £6 superior to the next in there, and he probably will win and probably should win. I think there's a couple that are interesting, but probably not so much of the way. So, you know, Indemnity won well at Plunton, was a bit disappointed last time, but I could see him outrunning his price, but I wouldn't be having a bet on him. And the one that I really enjoy, and Robbie will enjoy this as well, there's also a called Mojito de Mott for Ben Pauling. And before he made his hurdle debut last year, he was very much a talking horse having come across from France. So I've backed him for the Triumph hurdle, and he is, well, that was a bet that I'm never going to see any money from. Oh, it was very apparent after his first run over here. But he's had a wind up, so, and it's the second run since, so maybe he'll find £20 of improvement here. But no, Louis Veron looks the one to beat by quite some bit.
Yeah, I say plot job, I should have said just extremely well placed. It's obviously been the plan, this, but yeah, Louis Veron could go off very short here for the summer handicap hurdle. Let's find out if Ed is in agreement with the panel.
So, over at Market Raisin, what a meeting. We've sponsored this for the last 3 or 4 years, so I know the kind of races, the kind of horses that are needed for these events. The first race on ITV is a handicap hurdle, and the Skeltons have teamed up with Louis Veron. Now, Louis Veron is a horse that hasn't really captured the imagination. He's only had a few runs, but they're waiting. I think they're waiting for him. They've got him handicapped. I think he's on 1-2-4. He's won a maiden and a non-handicap the last two races for the Skeltons. 2-9 and 4-9. So there were races he should have won. This is his first real test, I think. And I just think he's up to it off that kind of mark. He'll go off favourite. I expect him to be well backed. And I think the Skeltons might have a good day at market raising on Saturday. And they'll probably win this opening race on ITV at 10 past two. This is our money back second or third race as well. So if you do have a fancy, do bear that in mind. Money back if your horse comes second or third in this race. Terms and conditions apply. But yeah, the Skeltons might have a good day at market raising on Saturday.
Yeah, so there we go. Vote again for Louis Veron. Looks like it's going to be the group nap of the week, I'd say, Louis Veron. But yeah, 15-8, well, 2-1, sorry, currently available with regards to the Skelton horse. Moving on then to the Summer Plate Handicap Chase at 2:45 there at market raising. Once again, the Skeltons have the favourite. Kingston Narcissus is the current favourite, 3-1. Queensbury Boy, 6-1. Marhan's Glory for Team Dylan Cunha, 13-2. Soul Icon, also 13-2. Paula Fee is 8-1. Baltic Bird, 9-1. King Rowley, 9-1. Double figures about the rest of the field. This one's probably not as strong, Johnny, as Louis Veron for the Skeltons, but once again, they have the favourite.
Yeah, and I don't think this one will be winning, though. I do not think this favourite will be winning. He doesn't tick all the boxes from the old Kingston Narcissus. And interestingly, Harry Cobden has won this race the last three runnings of it, and he rides Soul Icon here. He's a pretty rock-solid horse, and once again, going to have a good chance. Also, he'll have a good record in the race, is the Bowens, and Mickey Bowen saddles King Rowley. He ran very well when winning at Perth back in September. He'd been a bit hit and miss since then. His run last time at Market Raisin, little sight around the course, was fairly reasonable, finishing second by 9 lengths, but didn't run badly. It's come down another pound for it. And it's sort of 10-1 or so. I can see him running a pretty big race for Mickey Bowen here under £5 claimer Shane Fenlon.
Okay. King Rowley and Soul Icon mentioned there. I think Ed will get to him in a minute, but I think Ed was a big fan of Soul Icon as well. Robbie, for yourself then, the Summer Plate?
Yeah, Soul Icon time, I think. Harry Cobden doesn't ride him often. He's only ridden him once since he was aboard for Soul Icon's Desert Orchid win Boxing Day in 2024. So this horse obviously runs in better races than this usually. He ran a cracker in this 2 years ago as well. He's only beaten a neck off a similar break. It looks like it's been the long-term aim. What he needs is good ground on the right-handed circuit over an intermediate trip, and he's got those conditions. Was brought down in the Topham on his last start. You can forgive him that, obviously. But his two complete starts before that, he's ran right up to his best. So I think he definitely retains all his ability as a nine-year-old. The booking of Cobden, as I say, is obviously a massive plus. This will have been the long-term aim. He's got a good record fresh, I think. Everything stacks up for a big run from Soul Icon, providing that he races prominently, because there was this time when we all backed him for the Badger Beer at the start of the season, thinking he was going to front run, and then he was held up at the back and ran a cordon, ran poorly. So as long as Cobden's positive, and Cobden is one of the very best from the front, I think he'll take some catching.
Okay, another vote for Soul Icon then, and as mentioned, Ed is a big fan of the horse as well, so let's hear why.
For me, I'm going to go for Soul Icon, who hasn't run for 99 days. We last saw him being brought down in the Topham Chase. Harry Cobden, very interesting jockey booking. First time out. He's got a relatively good record first time out, Soul Icon. If you go through his rankings, he's won a few times and been placed on his first run of the season. He loves good ground. He's had 17 runs on good ground. He's won 8 of them. And on another 4 occasions, he's come second. It's going to be good ground at Market Raisin on Saturday. He also likes this race. He's come second in this race a couple of years ago off, I think it's a £4 lower mark. But he's still well handicapped. They've obviously kept him ready for this race, first time out. And it's a big price, £75,000. I just think Soul Icon with Harry Cobden can come home first in the Summer Plate on Saturday. We're going extra place, by the way, on this race with Unibet.
So yeah, Ed, a big fan of Soul Icon as well in the Summer Plate. Now, we have got a race on the ITV card from Ripon, which Johnny Pearson does not have a selection for, but I'm ensured that Ed and Robbie do. And the race is the 3:15 there at Ripon, which looks an interesting little handicap. It's the Ripon Bell Ringer handicap, a class 3 event on the card. And Elzas is the 5-2 favourite. Prince of the Seas is 7-2. Jaffre is 4-1, Salamanca City 5-1, Spear Delta is 8-1, Per Contra 8-1, Star Harbour 10-1, and Haku is the 20-1 outsider. So then to you, Robbie Wilders, you're going to give us the winner at Ripon.
Yeah, Jaffre I quite like for Richard and Peter Fahey, the sole three-year-old in the lineup. First three-year-old runner in this since 2022. They get a lot of weight from the older horses. It's £11. This horse has a pedigree to suggest he's going to be a lot better than Marcus 78. He's by Frankel, and the Dan Muffrey Hall was a Group 3 winner. He's closely related to other really smart group horses, such as Alma Beer, Yabba, who's been a good horse at William Haggis this season. He only made his debut in Leicester. He's come out and run a cracker on his handicap debut at first class time. The winner has won again since at Newmarket. He's only up £1 for that. I could just see him going really well. He's only got 8 stone 3 on his back. Presumably, well, that's Cam Hardy's riding him because he can get down to really low weights. And yeah, he's a lot of these I don't particularly like. El Sassi, he was very disappointing, I thought, on Newmarket last time. Admittedly, that was a stronger race, but I can't name him at the top of the betting. So Jaffre, if he's anywhere near as good as his sire and Dan, he should be winning this.
Okay, Jaffre then for Robbie, 4-1. Currently, let's find out who Ed fancies then in the 3:15 at Ripon.
So ITV are covering one race from Ripon, a 4.5 furlong handicap. It's an interesting race. There's plenty of options here, and it's not a strong selection, but Salamanca City looks like a horse that might be one step ahead of the handicap. Already won 2 of 3 this season for James Fanshawe. Daniel Muscat's on board, has ridden Salamanca City to victory before. The two victories were won by a short head and a nose. And this horse definitely leaves a bit, which is why I think maybe it's just a step ahead of the handicap. But don't expect Salamanca City to win by too far if indeed Salamanca City does win. But I think there's every chance that Salamanca City can just continue the form, even though he's been nudged up another £4 in the handicap. Might just be one horse that just stays ahead of the handicapper because of the way that it pulls himself up when he hits the front. So Salamanca City for the big race at Ripon that's on ITV.
And that's the selections then for the ITV card this Saturday. Do let us know down in the comments who you like this weekend. I'll try and interact with as many as possible. Right, we're going to take a short break and then we have the Irish Oaks straight after that.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Here we are then, the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Race Post, sponsored by Unibet. It's Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson taking you through the ITV action this weekend. We're now away from the ITV action. Now we're going to the Curragh for the Jubman Irish Oaks at 4:35 there on the Saturday, obviously for the three-year-old fillies, where Earthshot is topping the market 11-4 currently for Team Wafnan. Thundering on, the Oaks winner is 3-1. Amelia Earhart, 9-2. Innis Moore's 13-2. Joanna Walsh is 13-2. Sparrow Nua, 8-1. And double figures about the rest of the field. Johnny Pearson, it looks like a really decent race. You've got the Ribblesdale winner versus the Oaks winner versus Amelia Earhart, who probably didn't show a true running at Epsom. And I actually give a right chance. What did we make of the Irish Oaks?
So did you just say that Thundering On isn't favourite and Earthshot is?
Not quite. 11-4 Earthshot, Thundering On 3-1.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that would have surprised you. Thundering On, the Irish Oaks, I mean, Thundering On disappointed in the Pretty Polly last time. There's no 10, probably the 10 furlong probably didn't suit as well as the 12 furlongs, with the stamina comes more into play. But she should have. I think she should have been a bit better than she should, but I think they said she was blowing off the race or something, so maybe there was something not quite right there. And she should be favourite. Her win in the Oaks is the best piece of form on offer here. Now, if you're going to put a line through Earthshot, then Joanna Walsh should be a much shorter price than she is, given there was, a head between them at Ascot. And then you've got the likes of Rebel Moon, who's run twice, won twice. Okay, probably got a bit to find, but that's just... And then you've got Sparrow Nua. God knows how she's gone off 25-1 on debut, given how impressive she was. And then she won at Gowran and then she won a Group 3 last time. quite comfortably, actually. It's just value for more than the half length there. So I don't think Aidan O'Brien's are going to finish. There's a chance Aidan O'Brien's horses don't finish in the frame here. I could see all of, he's got five in the race, and I could see none of them making the top three. I think there's enough in there that are better than what he's got. And I think that's why he's sending five, because he doesn't think he's got a standout in there. I think Thundering On, probably the most likely winner. But I'll give a big shout for Sparrow Newer and for Rebel Moon. And I mean, you can make a case for Innes Moore as well behind Diamond Necklace last time. And obviously the likes of Jana Walsh and Earthshot. But yeah.
Mentioned the majority of the field there, Johnny, at the end of that. I think you've covered everyone at some stage there. But Thundering On seems the main selection, but a few potentially to look out for. I think the main thing that you said there that interests me and potentially some of the viewers and listeners would be that, you know, it could be run that the five Aidan O'Brien runners don't finish anywhere near the frame. So we'll have to wait and see whether you're right next week. Robbie Wilders, what did you make of this year's Irish Oaks?
Yeah, I think it's superb. I think it's much better race than the Oaks, significantly, which Thundering On obviously won really easily. Sort of, if you told me that Thundering On was going to be 5-2 in off the back of winning this, off the back of winning the Oaks at Etzel, I wouldn't have been shocked. But obviously, we know what happened in the Pretty Polly. I don't know, I just don't think that was a real her. I mean, she drifted from something like 8-15 up to 11-10 before the off. That's always an ominous sign. And then she's been found to be coughing post-race. I had a cough a couple of weeks ago, and it's bloody hard to go for a run with that, let me tell you. So I don't think we saw the real her. This is going to be a strongly run race. There's a lot of Cornwall representation, a lot of Buddy Doyle outsiders that are going to make it a strong race. She's going to thrive in that sort of setup. And I think it's interesting that Joseph O'Brien is happy to not keep her away. He's coming back 3 weeks later, staying positive. And if history has told us anything over the last couple of weeks, it's that you've got to forgive horses a bad run. I was reading Tom Siegel's column in the weekend. He pointed out a host of horses that ran poorly in Royal Ascot and come out one big race since. The likes of Jackson, the Lost King, Fraud, Bermuda, Rumstar, Bint Archange, all run stinkers of Royal Ascot, come out a couple of weeks later and won good races. So I am going to keep the faith of Thundering On, I've decided. I still think she could be the real deal. And people are crabbing the Oaks form, but Legacy Link, she did flop in the Ribbles down, but that was 13 days later. I don't think that was a true goals at all. I wouldn't give up on her either. So it's Thundering On for me on the impression she created Edson.
Okay. Yeah. Johnny, I saw your mic unmuted there. I didn't know whether you were going to kind of step in and say anything on that, but obviously not. I'll go to Ed Nixon then and see who he fancies in this year's Irish Oaks.
The one I'm going to look for is a horse that came home rattling fast on rattling ground. Last time out in the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot. Earthshot, trained by Willie Haggis, was going up to 1.5 for the first time. Just been bought by Wethan for that Royal Ascot performance, and needed every yard of the 1.4. Had previously run over much shorter, but certainly saw it out very well. It's a very demanding trip at the Curragh, this 1.4. I think it'll suit her. And I'm expecting, although there's a bit of difference in the official rating, she's got a lot to find on Thundering On. I just think she's an improver. More importantly, I think she'll like the ground. I think the fast ground will suit her more than it suits the favourite Thundering On. At Unibet, we're going Super Boost on the Irish Oaks.
Yes, Ed's going to be with the Ribblesdale winner, Earthshot, for him. 11-4 currently available for William Haggis and James Doyle in the Irish Oaks. It looks like a cracking contest. It really is going to be an interesting one come Saturday at 4:35. There are plenty of other good races on the card. Johnny Pearson, you're the man that can cover Ireland fairly well. Just have a little talk through some of the races you'd like to look at.
There's a good two-year-old race with the likes of Carry the Flag in there, which I haven't got it up in front of me, but it's a decent little contest. But the race that I'm most interested in is the Sapphire Stakes at 3:25. You've got Rosie Affair and Jack Ajaro both running in here. They're fourth and fifth behind Mission Central in the King Charles III Stakes, formerly King Stand. And I think, you know, that you got Havana Anna for Donna O'Brien dropping back to 5 furlongs, having been behind Venetian Sun at Royal Ascot. And it just looks a very, very strong race. So I would, based on how the King Stand went at Ascot, I would be with Rosie Affair here for George Bowden and Billy Locknane. I thought that was a really good run, drawn less ideally than Jack Ajaro, who finished one place behind her. And I think she's got an outstanding chance here for Billy Locknane to add another big winner to her CV.
Okay, there you go. Some other horses to look out for in Ireland this Saturday. Right, let's get into the best bets of the week. And then who are the panel's best bets on ITV this week? And I'll tell you what, Johnny Pearson, I'll give you the honour. Who would you like?
We go in the 155 at Newbury, the first there. We're going to hope William Buick to pick the wrong one, and it's going to be Arabian Light for Kieran Schumark.
Okay, well, I'm going to go in the race after then, 225, the per temps handicap. I'll go with Bailey Kelstar, who I just think will just keep on winning. Does really well in these staying handicaps. I think they're going to eye up potentially something at Goodwood with a horse like this. Been really well supported, but I do think this horse will improve once again for a yard who are just continuing in red hot form. Robbie Wilders.
Well, it's got to be the Skelton, not plot job, place job at market raising.
Place job.
In the summer handicap, heard of the place job, Louis Veron looks very well handicapped in that 2-10 at market raise.
Yeah, for those who haven't watched the whole show, Louis Veron was a group selection for everybody there. I really do like Louis Veron. And Ed Nixon, as mentioned, he likes Cody Bear Light in the Super Sprint, currently 14-1 available. So on screen there, you can see our best bets for the week and some really confident and group-based selections in there as well. There were plenty of agreement on this week's show, which I love to see, but you can see all of our selections on screen there. And that's it for this week's show. Big thanks to Robbie Wilders, Johnny Pearson, and obviously Ed, who sent in some of his selections for myself. I'm just hoping we have a really good weekend now. I know we've got that kind of lull period between Royal Ascot and Goodwood, but Goodwood will be coming up, not next week, the week after. We've got the King George to preview next week from Ascot, and then we will have our top five bets video on the Sunday next week for Goodwood and Galway, always a popular show. So really looking forward to that. Do let us know down in the comments who your best bets are this week. And as always, do like, comment, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you again next week for another Racing Postcast.